Okay, this is Parak Yud Aleph and Hilchos. Continuing Lachos have to do with the Shemira, a person on his deathbed, and in trance he makes when it comes to giving over his property. Okay, so Shamar Nechasam Eil Labanai. So let's say the person nearing death, the okay, this is Parak Yud Aleph and Hilchos Zichia Matana. Continuing halachas have to do with the shchimera, the person near his deathbed, who is giving gifts over or his property over to other people, and to clarify the statements that he makes. So it says, "Lach al shchimera shamar nechasam elavanai." So if the shchimera says, "My property goes to," now again here it says banai. What does banai mean? Ain a banas b'cholam, doesn't include daughters. Hayolo ben echad ubas. Right, let's say he had one son and one daughter, or ben ubenaban, ubenaman, or son and grandson. Af yishu amar levanai. Even though he said to Bonai, which seems plural, Shu Lashon Rabim, Einos and Elavno, it only goes to his son. Shabena Ha'echa Nikra Bonim, because a solitary son is called, in our vernacular, Bonim. Let's say the person near death says, "My property should be given to Tovia," and then he dies. Uva Echa Shishmo Tovia Vamar Anihu, and someone comes along and says, "Hey, I'm Tovia." Notlan, he takes it. Vimhuksach Shmo Rav Tovia, Rav Tovia, Notlan. However, if it turns out his name is really Rav Tovia, then he can't take it. Mimashimra Gaspo, Vikarosovishmo. Let's say the what he called the Shimra is someone who's familiar with him and calls him by his first name. What he called, and then what he called really normally we wouldn't give it to Rav Tovia in such a case, Notlan, he's able to go ahead and take it. Alachimo, Boshlaim Litva. All right, let's say what he called two people are making a claim for the property from the person who's deceased. Well, Echamahem Shmo Tovia. Each one says her name is Tovia. One of the two is a Talmud Chacham, a sage. He gets the precedence. Let's say neither one is a Talmud Chacham, one of them is a neighbor or a relative, then he goes first. Now it's interesting. If one is a neighbor and one's a relative, the neighbor gets precedence. But let's say they're all both equal, like both relatives, etc. Yasu Dayanan Kamoshi Lahem. So then the judges have to basically assess the situation and determine it. So they basically say it should be to the person that the Dayanim think the person who died intended for it to go to. What do you call it? And this applies even to cases of multiple recipients. Let's say the guy before death says, "My property should be given to this person, this person, this person." So then they should all divide each one of them should divide the property in an equal fashion. Let's say Shchemra says, "My property should be given to this guy and to my kids." It's split up. Ploni notes on Mechza, Chobon on Mechza. So that the individual takes half and the kids take the other half. There was a situation where a person said to his wife, "I'm giving everything to you and your kids." So the Chum said she gets half and the kids get the other half. Let's say he says, what do you call it? I want my property to go to this guy and this guy and to the kids of this guy. So it comes out that the, what do you call it? The two people mentioned get one half, and then the kids of the one guy gets the other half. Let's say Shchemra says, this person should receive a part of my property. So he gets half. If he says, give some of my property to so-and-so, he gets 1/16. However, some paskin that he should give him a quarter. Let's say the Shimra says, give a part of my wine to this, to that, I what do you call it, in the cistern to this person. That means, that refers to a quarter of it. Let's say he says, give him part of the wine to pour into bottles. Then he gets an eighth. He says, give him some of the wine for cooking. He gets 1/12 of the wine. Let's say he says to him, give a little bit of the wine for what do you call it, for a tinier cup. He gets 1/16. Because at that point, it's clear his intention was to give over a very small amount. But you can't extrapolate from these measurements that are by yain and let's say the property to other situations. Let's say Shlomo says, let my wife get a chunk of this, like one of my kids. So she gets one, what do you call it, portion, what do you call it, from her kids. Let's say the sons are born to the dead person after he made this, what do you call it, the distribution of his property. So she joins with the ones who exist at the time that he distributed his property, even Kulan. She takes a portion with them. Ketzah, so what's an example? Let's say the Shemar had three kids at the time he made his will. And then two more sons were born to him afterwards. So then she should get a portion that's equal to that which is given to the five kids, which comes out to, in this case, 1/6 of this total property. Halach Yud Aleph, one second. So the widow, she only gets a chunk of the property that he of what he set aside at the time of the will. Any property he obtains after the will, there's no portion, because again, a person can't transfer ownership of something that's not in his possession at the time he does it. Shimra says this person should receive all my movable property. Nota kli tashmisho. So that person should receive even personal items. But not like barley and wheat. Amar kol mataltan l'shali. If he says all the movable things that I own, nota kol, then he gets all of it. Halacha gimel ba'avadim b'klal mataltan. So servants are considered movable property. Avalo rechaim atachdona kiyotzeba, but not the lower millstone. Sharehim mechuberas arts, because that's attached to the ground. Halacha yudah na amar kol mataltan. But the guy said, the shlimer says everything that can be carried. Even though that lower millstone is attached to the ground, since it's something that can be carried, it would be included. Excuse me. Shlimra says, give my property to this guy. Noto kol mataltalin. He gets all the movable property, b'chol karkos, as well as land, as well as the clothing and the servants and animals. Tfilin will be included in this property. We're unsure about a Sefer Torah. If it's considered property or not, therefore, if the person receiving the things takes it, then we don't take it back from him. So let's say Shimra says, give 200 bucks to this guy and my firstborn as what he's supposed to get. Nolan benotel bechuraso. So then he should be given the, what they call that sum, along with the portion of that that would given to the firstborn. Amar bibuchoraso yado al yona. Let's say in the same situation, the Shlimra says, give 200 bucks to the Bechor, what do you call it? Then the Bechor gets first. Ratza achilik Bechora, notel, ratza masayim zuz notel. Therefore, the firstborn has the option of either taking what's owed to him as the firstborn, or he could take the 200 bucks. So Chenim Amar, if he says, tnu masayim zuz laponis ishti karoila, says, give 200 bucks to my wife as she deserves. No lasan, but no telus ksubasa. She can, what do you call it? She receives that and the money she gets from the ksuba. Vim amar b'ksubasa yadal yonah. But if he said, give her 200 bucks for the ksuba, then she could choose which one of the two that she wants. Lach yates amar, if he says, tu masayim zuz laponi, bal chovi karoilo. Let's say Shemra says, give 200 bucks to so-and-so, the guy I owe money to, right, as is owed to him. No lam, but no telus kobo. So then he gets that money plus the money due to him for the debt. Amar b'chovo, but he says, give her 200 bucks just for the debt. Ain lo l'chovo, that's all he can collect from it is the debt itself. Let's say Shimra says, give 400 bucks to this guy and let him marry my daughter. Right? It's as if he gave the person two gifts. Whichever one he wants, he could take. Therefore, if he wants to take the money but not marry the daughter, he can do so. However, if he said, imamar yikach biti v'snu lo, Arba meozuz. Let him take my daughter and give him 400 bucks. Hareza tonight, that's a condition. Then he can't get the money until he marries the daughter. Let's say the guy says, the Shlimra says, would I give 400 bucks to my daughter as her ktuba or for her ktuba? If it's normal in that city that people add to that amount, initial amount, and they write down mana, v'lukto shaba, mana masayim, and a mana will equal 200 bucks. And it tells us about 100 zuz, and she only takes 200 zuz. Because he didn't say Arameos, he only said it as a number that would normally be in Ksuba, which means give her what is necessary that a Ksuba will be now valued at 400 bucks. Let's say he says, the Shimra says, sorry, excuse me, Amar Tnu Dunya Biti, Kach Vakach Vagadim, Kach Vakach Kalim. Let's say the Shimra says, give this clothing and these kalim to my daughter for her dowry. Huzul begadim akalim acharim. Now let's say the price of the clothing and the other items went down. Harevach liyitomim venosun la kishar hazol. So the profits go to his inheritors, but she gets the principal as promised. V'kenim amar tznu arameh zuz d'mei yayin the biti bugar yayin. So let's say the Shimra says, give my daughter 400 bucks plus the money from this wine. And what do you call it? The wine goes up in value. The profit goes to the inheritors and she gets 400 bucks. There's a story where someone was being let out in chains because he was condemned to death. And he said, so he says, give this guy 400 bucks in the wine. And that's in this place. So the Chacham said he should get 400 bucks from the price of that wine. Because we say his intention wasn't to go ahead and give that person the amount of money equal to the weight of 400 bucks. His intention was the specific amount. And the reason why he specified the place where he can collect the money from is to give more power to the recipient. Another incident happened. Right? A guy said, give my daughter this palm tree. But he left only two halves of a palm tree. Amru Chacham Chacham said, "Tito Shnei Chatzayim Shelazen Iskavim Heim Shekara Deka." So the Chacham said that she gets the two halves of the date palm. That was his intention. He just called it one tree. The Shuv Ma'is Echad is another story where a person Shamar Tznu Laponi Bayis Hamachzik Me'akurin, where he said, "Give this person a building that contains 100 korim." V'nimsa Bayis Sheish Lzeh Hametzav Hamachzik Me'ev Esrim, and that house that was owned by the person actually contained 120. Amru Chacham Chacham said, "Zachav Bayzeh." So the person gets the house, Shadvarim, Marin, Shekamanoso, Zahaisa, because it's clear he intended this house, Shekalnosim, and Yafenosim, because the person always, he tries to take the best guess. V'chein kol yotzidvarim elu, and also in other situations like this. Let's say Yashkimra says, give my son the shekel each week. Osha Amar, al tit lahem el shekel, or he said, do not give him anything but a shekel each week. Nimso she'enu masvik lahem el asel b'chol Shabbos. But it turns out that, what do you call it, a sel is required for them to live. For weekly, no sometimes called Sarachan, you give them what they need. Shalonis Gavin to the heart of his manav. His intention to give a shekel wasn't for his kids to starve. El Zariz or some, rather to encourage them to live on a small budget. Shema Yarvichu Botsa Yoser Midai. Right, so this way they don't spend beyond their means. Vaylach Avdala Shchimra Shetziva Amar Al Tif Saduhu. Shchimra says, don't give me a hesed. Ain Sof the Nazoi, don't give me a hesed. Al Tekervu Minichasav. If he says, don't use my money for my property to bury me. Ain't Shomel, we don't listen to him. Sheikhos Alma Mubano Biapal Atzmal Tzibor. Because we don't make him, what do you call it? We do not allow him to, become a burden for the community that they have to pay for it. Shashalan Nicho Balokvora, because the community can't leave him without being buried. Alakofan is a Yorshan the Kobrum Nechasav. Rather, we force the inheritors to go ahead and bury him from the deceased property, financial finances. That ends Paragud Aleph, and we will continue with Paragud Beis next time.